You are listening to the Reality Steve podcast with your host, Reality Steve. He's got all the latest info and behind-the-scenes juice on Matt's season of The Bachelor and interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. Now, here's Reality Steve.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to podcast number 223. I'm your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. A Temptation Island-centric episode for you this week. We've got one of the couples on, recorded separately, because we don't know what their situation is. We got Tom Gibson, and we've got Chelsea Orcutt. Tom and Chelsea. Season 3, Temptation Island, every Tuesday night on the USA Network. And we'll get to them momentarily. But as I said, this is a Temptation Island-centric episode. It's on every Tuesday night. Season 3 just started 2 weeks ago. We're only 2 episodes in. You can check it out on the streaming. If you haven't seen the first 2 episodes, I would suggest tuning into the show. It is very good. Is it a little out there in terms of the concept? Sure. But I think you ask anybody who went on the show, they really learned a lot about themselves, whether or not they ended up staying together or not. Out of the 8 couples, there were 4 couples on each season. Only 2 of them are still together, but there is a lot to be learned on this show. I think Mark Wahlberg, our guest 2 weeks ago, is a great host. I have said I think he would be a perfect fit for the Bachelor franchise. Hell, most people think he's a knockoff Chris Harrison anyway, and even looks like him a little bit. So I don't think Bachelor World Level will hire him, but I still think he's a good choice. I hope you guys are all watching, and I'm going to keep drilling it into your heads. We're going to have a guest on every week from the show, but usually it'll be about a 20-25 minute interview on the back end of whoever my guest is. Because we didn't have one last week, we put two on this week, and now we're back to probably one guest a week from Temptation Island, and just talk about the episode, talk a little bit about themselves, and kind of go from there. But a good start so far to the season. Really enjoying it. I hope you all are too. As for Bachelor World news, if you saw me tweet it out yesterday, I did get the confirmation that Bachelorette, I had heard about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, that New Mexico was what they were zoning in on. And as I was hearing, like, hey, they're getting away from Canada, it's going to be New Mexico. And then yesterday I got the confirmation of the the Hyatt Regency Tamaya, which is about 20 minutes. I can't remember if it's 20 minutes or 20 miles out a little bit north of Albuquerque. But that's where they're going to film. And it's going to start mid to late March, like they usually do. What we don't know right now is who's hosting the show, and we don't know who the Bachelorette is. I've had a ton ask, I thought you said Katie was the Bachelorette. I'm like, yeah, I did, like a month ago. And ever since then, I've told you numerous times, Katie is no longer the Bachelorette. She was their planned one that they were going to go with. Then everything got turned upside down in Bachelor World with everything going on in the social media aspect of it with Rachel and Matt and all the Chris Harrison stuff, and they had to change it. They're going to change it. They haven't decided who yet. But as soon as I hear anything, who's hosting the After the Final Rose this weekend? Don't know yet. Who's hosting The Bachelorette when it starts filming in March? Don't know yet. Who's going to be The Bachelorette? Don't know yet. This stuff could come, literally it could come in, I could find out first. It could be dropped by a media outlet that says, you know, we found out that so-and-so is hosting After the Final Rose. If I see that on a media story, I'll retweet it so you can see it. But I don't know if I'm going to find out before a place like People or Us Weekly or something like that. They might find out first in terms of who's hosting and stuff like that. So I will keep you updated. You'll know. As long as you follow me on social media, you'll know. If you're listening to this podcast before 1 o'clock Eastern time on Thursday, and you haven't signed up for Clubhouse, download the app. You have to have an iPhone to do it. If you have an Android, it's not going to work. It's a fairly new app, so it has to be invite only. I understand. I'm still confused a little bit on how invite only works. Hopefully, you guys can tune in today. If not, because Clubhouse is starting to get really big, pretty soon everyone's going to be able to have access to it. It'll be really easy for us to do more Clubhouse stuff, and anybody that's following me can just listen in. But if you can somehow get an invite, from somebody that you know that's on Clubhouse, have them invite you, download the app, create a screen name, follow me at Reality Steve on Clubhouse, and then you just have to get an invite to somebody from somebody, and you can listen in today. 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. We're just me, Olivia Caridi, and Katya, who is a big fan of mine, and I didn't even know till last or earlier this week that her whole business started because of listening to me. And they'll be hosting it. We'll have people on from Bachelor Nation. Ashley Spivey's going to be there. And we're just going to talk. If you haven't seen Clubhouse, it's a really cool app, really cool networking app for people as well. So check that out. But anyway, I want to just get right into it. Temptation Island, Chelsea and Tom are one of the four couples. And like I said, I don't know spoilers for this season. I'm not asking questions and hoping that they slip up. And, you know, you'll listen to both of these and maybe you'll have form an opinion. I think you can form an opinion both ways and be like, oh, yeah, I just listened to that. And I could totally tell that they're broken up. Or you can listen to it and be like, I could totally tell that they're still together. I found things that they say in both interviews pointing to both directions, that they are together or they are broken up. So I don't think there's anything definitive here. Maybe I missed something because I was doing the interviewing. I was listening to their answers, but I can't tell definitively where they're at in their relationship. And that's good because I don't want to know. And as I say at the end of the podcast, like, look, I'm sure I'll hear, as we get closer to the finale, I'm sure I'm going to end up hearing some spoilers about who stayed together and who broke up and who left with who. If they broke up, did they leave with a single? I'm sure I'll hear towards the end of the season. I'll never reveal it on this podcast, but I don't want to know in episode two. It would really ruin it for me if I found out who broke up and who's still together. I want to see this thing play out. So two really good interviews, an interesting couple, and I hope you enjoy it. So here we go with podcast number 223. Okay, let's bring him in. He is one half of the Tom and Chelsea couple on season 3 of Temptation Island, currently airing on Tuesday nights, 10, 9 Central on the USA Network. It is Tom Gibson. Tom, how you doing?
I'm good, Steve. Thank you for having me on. It's an honor to be here.
We got a lot to talk about. Before we get to Tuesday night's episode, I want to give you an opportunity to just tell people a little bit about yourself, who you are. We saw stuff in the intro video, but it's, you know, there's only an hour show, and they got four couples they need to get to and eight people they need to introduce. So just a little background on yourself, where you grew up, schooling, what you're doing now. Just give everyone kind of the lowdown on Tom Gibson.
Sure. So I'm originally from the East Coast. I grew up in New Jersey. I went to Seton Hall and got a degree in psychology. Mm. And after that, I started working in finance, and I worked at Merrill Lynch. This was like during the financial crisis. So I started there in 2008, and it was a really, really wild time to be working in finance. I was with Merrill when they got bought by Bank of America. I went through that whole transition. And then I wanted to make a career change when I was in my later 20s, and I wanted to get into acting. So I put myself through acting school. I went to the William Esper Studio in New York City, and I did that at night while still working. And then I got my, I graduated from that conservatory program. I left the corporate world, and I started a career in acting. I acted in New York for about two and a half years, and then I moved out to L.A. about a little over 2 years ago now. And I've been in LA, and that's, I met Chelsea in LA, even though she's also from the East Coast, but we met on the West Coast. And, we like literally fell in love pretty quickly and moved in together. And then, I guess the kind of show tells the rest of that story, but
yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's an interesting story of where you're from, and you mentioned acting. Now a lot of people are going to be like, oh, well, great, he's a professional actor, how do I know what he's saying on the show is real and what isn't? Is there a way to determine your sincerity on the show now knowing that you are an actor?
I'm not acting. Chelsea, I want to make sure I don't give any spoilers, but Chelsea and I were/are a real couple.
Yeah.
It's not, I'm not playing a character. I'm playing myself. I am me. I'm being truthful. It's not a scripted show. It's you know, I don't know what else to say. People I think have always kind of had the concern, you know, with reality shows, like how real is it? And, you know, people that know me personally are even, you know, asking me like, is this real? Or is everyone an actor? And I feel like, you know, as much as everyone on the show tells everyone like, no, we're not actors, or, you know, even though I am an actor, I'm not acting.
Yeah.
You know, I think that it's up to people to believe it or not.
So tell everybody how you ended up in the casting process for this show. Was this done or pitched through an agency that might represent you, or were you guys, because I ask this to every couple who's ever been on that comes on the podcast. It's usually, yeah, we got reached out to by, or I got reached out to by a casting department that saw pictures of me or saw pictures of me and my girl or whatever the case may be. How did it happen for you?
Well, you know, that's a great question. It wasn't something that my agency sought out. It was actually through Chelsea. She's a bit of a social media influencer, if you will. She has a pretty solid following. And someone on the production side of Temptation Island reached out to her through her Instagram. And we were together. We were in the car in Sacramento taking a little road trip. And she got, I think, DM'd, and they were like, are you available for a call real quick? So I was in the car. She's like, oh, I just got reached out to for a reality show. And so I pulled the car over because, you know, we're in Sacramento, there's bad reception. So I pulled over so we could like hear, and it was explained to us, pitched to us what the show was, what it was about, and if we would be interested in, you know, in like interviewing for to be on it. So we said we'd think about it. We got back to LA, I think the next day, one or two days later, and we watched, I had never seen the show before, so we watched the first season. And I was, you know, I'm to be honest, I'm not a huge reality television fan, but I really enjoyed this show. It was like I felt drawn, you know, I kept watching, like I binged it. We binged it, I think, in 2 days. We watched the entire first season. And due to the fact that, you know, the problems that our relationship had, which were minute, but we did have issues with trust and her thinking I was too flirty. So I was like, this show would actually be perfect for us. It really addresses what our problem is. And, you know, it's a great opportunity to go to an amazing island, have fun, and hopefully, you know, we can leave a stronger couple. So that we talked about it, we weighed the pros and cons, and then we decided, yeah, let's go for it. And then we went through, you know, the entire rigorous interview process, the screening process, which was a lot of fun. And then ultimately they decided to cast us in the show.
So before I get to, you know, the issues of you guys' relationship, something I want to ask that I ask a lot of the couples is, when you first got to the island or first met the other couples, I don't know if it was when you boarded that yacht. I don't know when exactly you met the other three couples. Maybe it was on the yacht where they shot that. But in the early going, whenever the early process was of you seeing Julian and Kristen together and Kendall and Erica and Corey and Aaron, give me a little bit of a breakdown of your first impressions. If you remember what your first impressions were of the couple, start with Julian and Kristen.
Sure. Well, when I first saw Julian, I was like, damn, this guy's jacked.
Yeah.
I started doing some push-ups in my hotel room immediately. He's just obviously like such a, you know, he's got a great build. He's very fit. So that was just my, you know, just seeing him. Kristen's obviously stunning. So I was just like, wow, you know, they casted some really beautiful people on this show.
Yeah.
So I, you know, we literally started like working out in our room together. We got the bands out. Chelsea started doing squats. I started doing push-ups, and that was my first impression.
What about Kendall and Erica?
What was my first impression of Kendall and Erica? I felt like they weren't on the same page when they got to the island, that they were there for, that their reasons weren't, aligned. You know, I don't think they were on the same page.
Yeah.
That was my initial reaction. I think after, you know, I think maybe after the first dinner, it was pretty, as soon as I met them, kind of like I got that impression.
And then Corey and Aaron?
Corey and Aaron, I felt it was funny. I originally, when they were giving everyone's names, I thought Corey's name was Kendall. And I was like, I'm going to remember it by saying, all right, he looks like a Ken doll. Kendall. Oh. and then it turned out that his name's Corey, not Kendall. But yeah, I looked at them. You know, they're both beautiful, great, great couple. Corey's such a sweetheart. He's a really, really, really genuine, good guy. And my initial reaction, though, my very initial reaction, it did change, but my initial reaction when I saw them as a couple was that I felt like that it was going to be rocky for them.
Yeah. First off, the Ken doll is actually, that's pretty, I didn't even think about that, but yeah, Corey does look like a Ken doll for sure.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just watching last night's episode, clearly Corey, I guess of the four guys, unless it was just editing and they didn't show you or Kendall or Julian struggling as much, Corey clearly seems to be the one struggling the most with this process. Already, you know, kind of freaking out that, oh my God, Aaron chose, I'm blanking on his name, but the soccer player, oh my God, she's going to connect with him immediately. And I was like, whoa, dude, like we're 3 days in and you're already almost kind of a hot mess. I was like, I felt bad for the guy because I'm like, how is he going to make it a month if this is how he is on day three? I think even one time, I think before the Devils and Angels party started, we got a clip of Julian and Kendall in the kitchen. And even Julian said something like, man, we got to get our boy Corey's head straight. I think he even said that. And seemed to, and I'm sure you saw it, it just seemed like he really kind of, maybe before that party started, I think it was after the date picking and before that party started with the girls, Corey was kind of out on his own island and just really bothered by, I guess, seeing Aaron for the first time, you know, choose a guy for a date.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty accurate. I don't want to, you know, give any spoilers, obviously, because Corey's journey is really amazing to watch. You know, I saw it firsthand, and you guys are going to get to see, you know, from where he starts to where he ends up. It's really incredible to watch. And but yeah, I mean, it was, you know, we all three of us all you know took it to the side at some point, and we were like, you know, tried to have a pep talk with him. I think, you know, he, and I don't want to speak for him, but from what I know, I think it was more Aaron kind of really spearheaded going on the show, and he was, you know, I think he reluctantly went along. Mm-hmm. And so I think he was just kind of very, I mean, we were all out of our element, obviously. You know, it's not normal to be surrounded on an island in a villa with beautiful people and cameras all around. It's kind of, you know, it's no one's element, but especially for Corey, I feel like he was kind of really out of his element in the beginning. And the issues he had going in, which was, you know, not maybe feeling completely adequate for Aaron, was kind of not realized, but like put in his face a little bit when he saw her select a soccer player, you know, and his whole thing was like worrying about, you know, she's dated athletes in the past and now she's selecting an athlete. So it's very, very real. It's very real emotions we're all feeling. Yeah. So, you know, as you watch it, you're seeing a very, you know, trimmed down edited version. You're seeing an hour, you know, with commercials like 42 minutes. Whereas for us, it's, you know, days and we're going through these experiences and, you know, it's hard when you see, if you have some, you know, insecurities about maybe she wants to be with an athlete and then she goes and asks an athlete out on a date and then you're being asked, you know, how do you feel about that? And it's, of course, it's very, very, it can be very, you know, painful. And that's what we're seeing. And I tip my hat to Corey because he was, you know, I think he handled himself like such a gentleman, he's so well-spoken, and he really, you know, he's very self-aware. And he even said in last night's episode, you know, he said like he had the realization that that maybe he was overreacting, and that it's just, you know, take it one day at a time. And I think you guys are really going to it seems like everyone's already, you know, sympathizes with him because he's such a human, you know, got such a good heart. And I feel like you guys are just going to really continue to want to see him thrive.
Well, you mentioned Corey and Aaron's relationship and saying that Corey kind of is there a little bit reluctantly. We saw Chelsea on the episode last night specifically say, I can't remember if it was on her date with Blake or it was before they went on the date, but she basically said, like, I didn't want to be here. Like, this was Tom's idea. Was that exaggerated, or was that is that you were the one that had to do the convincing? And if it was the case, how did you convince her that this is what you guys needed to do for your relationship?
Somewhere in the middle. I mean, I presented why I thought it would be good for our relationship. We kind of weighed the pros and cons. She did say, like, I don't know if we should do this. And I said, look, you know, babe, if you think this is not going to be good for us, then we won't do it. You know, I don't want to do it if you're reluctant at all. So it took us a couple of days to decide. Like, after we watched the show, we really talked about it a lot. And we came to, it was a mutual decision. I didn't like make her do it or say we're doing this at all. It was a mutual decision. I just simply put out the pros and cons, and I said, this is why I think it could be good for us.
So did that kind of, did that kind of dig at you last night when you heard her say that on the episode? Like, I didn't want to be here. Like, this is his doing. Like, it made it seem like it was all you.
I know. It really made it sound like, you know, that like I dragged her there, yeah. You know, but the fact, you know, we all agreed to be there. Everyone signed their own contract. You know, did I think it would be good for our relationship? Yes. And did I present that to her? Yes. But when, you know, obviously when she said that, I did feel like it was a little misconstruing what actually happened.
Okay. Was this a thing where your goal coming into this was, I'm doing this because I want to prove to her that, yeah, maybe I might be a flirt, but my heart still lies with her. Was that like your thought process going into this? Like, why did you think this was a good idea for your relationship? Because it's not normal, let's be honest.
Right. I mean, yeah, no, of course it's not normal. Yeah. But what you said was my mentality. You know, we had an amazing relationship, and the one issue we had was when we would go out in public, and the narrative of me being flirty is kind of being hammered to death a little bit. I think it's a little exaggerated. In two episodes, I think you've seen, I'm not like the most flirty guy. I'm just, you know, I try to be friendly. But that was an issue, you know, that we had. And with everything, you know, the world shutting down, we hadn't had an opportunity to go out in public and kind of confront that issue in our relationship. So it was kind of like swept under the rug, being just together, she and I. So it was an opportunity that I saw as like, all right, here's a chance where I can prove to you and show you that I'm going to be faithful to you. You know, I'm not someone, I've never cheated in my life. I mean, I've been, you know, single for most of my 20s, but I never, in my relationships, even if they were short-term relationships, I never cheated. You know, I'm never one to lie. And like, if I want to see other people, I end the relationship and I move on. So my hope was to convince her of that. Like, if we went on the show and you can see that I can be in these parties and I can be, you know, dancing and drinking and being friendly with these women, but I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to sleep with any of them. I'm not going to hook up with any of them. I'm going to be respectful of you. And then in my mind, my hope was that, okay, she'll see that. And then it will help her kind of, you know, understand that, like, when we're out at a party, if I'm, you know, socializing, that it doesn't mean anything. I'm still going to go home with her. She's who I love. She's who I want to be with.
Okay, so the flirting thing, like you said, is a little is being hammered home pretty hard on the two episodes.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of like the crux of our storyline. You know, it's kind of how, you know, it was like, what is your issue? Why do you guys want to come to the island? And
yeah.
Like, well, our issue is that I'm too flirty. So, but I mean, in reality, I'm not like, you know, I'm not the most flirtiest person in the world by far. I think I'm just, you know, friendly.
One thing that I did notice, and I talked about this with Mark when I had him on a couple weeks ago, was the fact that you and Chelsea are the biggest in terms of age discrepancy on the show. I don't think there's any other couple that's more than 2 years apart. And it's not like you guys are a giant age difference. It's 8 years. Has that ever played a role in your relationship or no?
No. I actually listened to that episode. That was great. I mean, every time I hear Mark talk, I feel like I'm getting a therapy lesson.
Session, yeah.
Yeah. He's amazing. But no, I mean, our age difference never really played a factor at all.
Have you usually dated younger and she's dated older, or is this a first for each of you in terms of 8 years?
I've usually dated younger. She has dated older. I don't know if it's, I think she's had like three other like serious relationships, and I believe one of them was older, but okay. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the norm. It wasn't like, oh wow, how are we going to make this work? I'm, you know, I'm 37, you're 29. It was not really an issue at all. I'm kind of like, because I changed careers in my late 20s, it almost was kind of like a restart in a way. So I feel, you know, when I'm hanging out with 26, 27 year olds, I don't feel like I'm 10 years older than all of them. I feel like I'm one of them.
Gotcha. So about Monday's episode, just wanted to fill us in on a couple things that we saw, and then maybe things that we didn't see that I like asking about the dates itself. You picked Lauren as your first date, and I'm trying to remember. I mean, obviously I've seen both first episodes. I think I watched them twice. I get the screener and then I'll watch them when it airs. But I don't remember a ton of you talking to Lauren before you asked her out. Maybe it wasn't shown, but what made you choose Lauren as your first date?
Well, they did show one clip of us speaking in the first episode. It was, you know, very brief. I mean, usually the conversations they show tend to only be maybe 30 seconds to a minute.
Yeah.
Unless it's like really, really, you know, juicy stuff. But she was, you know, she's a very sweet, very kind girl. And we had, I don't want to give too much away, because it's still, still going on, that storyline. So I'm trying to pick my words carefully so I don't accidentally put my foot in my mouth and spoil anything.
Trust me, I don't want to be spoiled either. I have no idea what happens either, and I don't want to know. But okay, so we can get off the Lauren thing if we don't want to go down that road. That's
no, I can touch on it. You know, what we did have a really good conversation. She was very, very sweet, and she has a lot of worldly life experience. Or she lived on a boat for a few years. She lived in an RV. She was, so I found myself very, you know, when we would have conversations, it was very interesting. I found her interesting to speak with. Whereas a lot of times, you know, if you don't have a lot in common with someone, or if they're not nothing to really talk about, then I kind of would just move on. But she was just very, very fascinating. I found her to be.
Okay. Was there anything on the, you guys went diving and got to swim with fish. Was there anything about that date that we didn't see? Maybe some behind the scenes funny moments from that we didn't get to see last night?
I thought my belly flop was pretty funny. I attempted to dive, and it was so funny because Lauren's an amazing swimmer. Unfortunately, we couldn't really use much of the underwater footage because I am not, and my facial hair kept making the goggles like not airtight, so water was getting through, and I looked like someone drowning. So you didn't really see any of me underwater. But she's like a little mermaid, and so when we both dove at the same time, I could see how she was, you know, facing exactly perpendicular down to the water, and I was horizontal to it.
Yeah.
And I, in my, it, like, time slowed down, and I said, "Oh, this is not going to look right." So I thought that was pretty funny.
When you saw Chelsea pick, who was it? Oh, Blake, for her first date, you obviously don't know much about the guy singles other than their intro. Just by Blake's look, when I saw it, I'm like, he kind of looks like Tom, or he's kind of, were you surprised at all? Were you like, oh no, I see why she picked him, even though you didn't really know much about him, where you were like, yeah, I can see it.
No, it made sense. I think I said it too. I think in one of the interviews they showed in the last episode, I said, like, it makes sense. She, you know, he's the oldest or one of the oldest, out of the guys there.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, a little bit more, you can just see he's a little more experienced, less, I said she's into men, not boys. That was me just trying to be cute. But,
yeah.
You know, he seems more of like a man who's kind of, you know, established, knows what he wants and what he's doing in life. Whereas some of the other guys look a little bit younger, more like recently out of college, fraternity life.
Yeah.
So I felt like that made sense that's, you know. If I had to guess anyone, I would have guessed him.
Can you clear up the, it seems like obviously there's a lot of things that we don't get to see as an audience. And I felt like the miscommunication with Maya at the Devils and Angels party, or I felt it was a miscommunication because something seemed off about that. I don't know if you want to call it an argument or disagreement or whatever it was, but she was bothered by what you said. But I didn't really understand. I mean, I was kind of on your side because I didn't understand what she was mad at, unless I missed something.
It was a misunderstanding, 100%. I think that was the first or second night where we had met the single. So we were playing, like truth or dare, or maybe it was just truth or truth, just to get to know one another, you know, kind of like icebreakers. And I think Maddie was the one who asked me, what's your goal for being here? What are you trying to, you know, get out of your time here on the island? And my response was that I wanted to, my hope is that I leave here and Chelsea and I are a stronger couple and that we grow from this. And Maya said, no, your goal is to find your best match. And I should have handled myself a little bit better here, but that in the beginning, I was very, very concerned, I guess you would say, about like context and how, you know, I was worried. I didn't want Chelsea to see something taken out of context at a bonfire. And then so in my mind, I was like, I need to clear make it clear that, no, I'm not here to find the girl that's best for me. I'm here to leave with my girlfriend. So I think that's why I kind of retorted a little bit sharper than I should have. And what they don't show is like the next scene in the kitchen was not like right after. It was kind of, you know, maybe like 30, 40 minutes later. So I had, you know, keep in mind, we're all drinking. I wasn't angry at Maya or had an issue with Maya. It was more about me trying to set the record straight that this is why I'm here, more for like the cameras so that like, you know, nothing could be misconstrued or taken out of context. But, you know, Maya was offended by that. And so then when I walk in the kitchen, there's like this, you know, little commotion and drama that I didn't even, you know, I didn't realize there was an issue. And so then she kind of confronted me. And at first it took me like a couple seconds to like figure out what she was talking about. If you look at it, if you watch the scene, I'm kind of like speechless. I didn't actually know what she was referring to. And then I realized it. And, I get what she was saying. She had her opinion and it's fine, you know, but I guess my point was saying that, you know, there's no general guideline goal of what everyone's here for. It's like everyone determines their own goal. Like what my goal is, doesn't mean that's the right goal for everyone else. You know, some other people might be there to explore other single women to find out if they're with their best match. But that wasn't, you know, Chelsea and I, had a lot of conversations about this before going on, and that wasn't the intention. We weren't there to explore other people to find out if we're right for each other. It was to kind of test me, mostly a test for me, to see if I could be faithful and not cheat.
Yeah, and Maya took it as essentially, oh, us singles are not worth your time, and it just got kind of.
Yeah, and that's not what I meant at all. Yeah, the single girls there, the most part, like almost all of them, are like amazing, like great, incredible women, obviously beautiful, very. I was surprised at like how incredible they were, because I thought kind of going in there that it was going to be more of like spring break type girls that are just there to like get wild, and that I was going to have to kind of like stiff arm them. But they weren't like that at all. They were actually very thoughtful, very compassion is not the right word, but like, you know, they weren't crossing any lines unless you kind of invited them to. So they were very respectful for my boundaries, for everyone's boundaries. And I, you know, I really admire them for that.
And honestly, I could tell in that conversation. I mean, I it seemed like it. Maybe I'm read it wrong. It seemed like you were pretty hammered during that conversation.
Oh, for sure.
I was like, Tom's kind of slurring and his eyes are almost closed. Like he seems a little hammered during this conversation.
Well, my eyes are kind of squinty to begin with. I don't have the biggest eyes, but when I drink, they pretty much look shut.
Okay.
So I'm going to look like I'm have my eyes closed for most of the show, unfortunately. but yeah, no, there, I mean, we're always, there's often a lot of drinking going on.
And finally, just about the bonfire. We only saw two last night, so I'm assuming that means, you know, when we pick up the episode next week, we'll see the girl, the finishing up of who didn't get it. It was Aaron and Aaron and Kristen, so we didn't see, and then I'm sure we'll go to the guys. But they did show Chelsea a clip and Erica a clip. Chelsea sees the clip of this networking event that I don't know if you were thinking, like, going into that first bonfire, I'm sure the guys are always constantly thinking, what do I think the show is going to show my girlfriend? Did you have anything in mind? And when you saw it play back on Tuesday, were you like, yeah, I can see why they showed that clip? Or was there something else that you were like, oh, I'm surprised they didn't show that one?
Good question.
Or even going into that bonfire, do you remember thinking, like, I wonder what they're going to show her?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're always wondering what they're going to show.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was trying to be on my best behavior. You know, I wasn't, you know, trying to grind or, you know, or do anything that was too gratuitous.
Yeah.
So I wasn't so much worried. My bigger concern was things being taken out of context, that you can kind of, you know, because the way these bonfires are structured, it's, you know, it's a glimpse. But what they showed her, you know, was at least a good portion of that conversation. It didn't seem like too chopped up or anything. And she's, you know, I wasn't talking about anything that she and I hadn't already spoken about. Like that story was kind of the genesis of what brought us to the island. It was the first time we had like gone out at like a real, you know, party environment. And, you know, it was, I think I can really explain it, but it was, you know, a networking event. And my mistake was I didn't introduce her as my girlfriend. We had started going out maybe like a month or like 2 months prior, and it was just new for me, and I wasn't used to doing that. So I kind of was just talking to this girl online, and I was networking. You know, she was a producer, and we exchanged social media contacts, and Chelsea got very upset that I didn't introduce her as my girlfriend, which, you know, rightfully so. Like, I should have. That was a mistake on my part.
Okay.
But that was the first of a few times where we had issues out in public. And so, you know, when I'm speaking to the singles, they were all trying to like get to know us and understand what brought us to the island. So when they showed that to, you know, I saw Chelsea that's what she had seen. You know, I didn't really, I guess it makes sense.
And let's be honest, I mean, your clip was pretty tame compared to what they showed Erica. Like, I mean, you didn't have, yours was just words. It was just talking. But it did make Chelsea emotional. It made her cry and it brought up her insecurities. And were you surprised when you saw her react that way to the clip that they showed? Because it wasn't anything bad. It was just a conversation you were having and retelling a story that you say is something you and Chelsea had talked about numerous times. So when you watched it, were you surprised that she was like, that she got so emotional over it and she talked about, God, these insecurities that I always have? And, or were you not surprised?
I wouldn't say I was surprised. You know, Chelsea, one of the things I love about her is that she's so in touch with her emotions. She's a very, emotional human being. So it doesn't, you know, she can access her emotions so easily. She can watch a commercial and start crying because, you know, it's a touching commercial. So that coupled with the fact that everything's heightened on the island. Yeah. Every, you know, emotions are, you know, like even right now talking to you, I'm feeling like bringing myself back there. I'm starting to feel it a little bit. It's a, you're putting not just yourself out there for the world to see and putting yourself in line, you're putting your relationship on the line. And the biggest thing, in relationships, the number one factor I think is, for a relationship to succeed is communication. And you're put in a situation where you're stripped of the ability to communicate with your partner. So I completely understood why she got a little emotional. You know, we had just only been separated. Maybe, I guess that was 2 days from when we had been separated. So it was still fresh. And so, yeah, I wasn't surprised.
But I would say that, I guess to wrap things up with Chelsea and you and the relationship in general through two episodes, it is something to where Chelsea has insecurities about, I guess maybe I'm already mixing it up. If she brought it up about past relationships where she has always felt, she always has that feeling of insecurity. I don't know if guys have cheated on her in the past or what it may be. I will ask that of her when I speak to her, but it seems like that is the biggest thing that she just, is she one of these that needs assurance a lot of, is it a words of affirmation for her? Is it quality time? We talk about love language. It seems like maybe with this insecurity, she just needs to be, I don't know, reinforced every once in a while to, hey, no, I'm your guy or I'm with you or whatever it may be. Is that what it breaks down to with her and in your relationship?
I don't want to speak for her.
Yeah.
I do feel that there's a lot of accuracy to that.
Okay.
That there is, and I fault myself for not being more aware of that in the beginning. You know, that it was so funny when we were, I think we had already been casted, the producers were asking us like love languages, and I guess it was in my circle of knowledge. I never knew what a love language was.
Yeah.
So they said, "What's your love language?" I said something like, "Oh, I'm silly and goofy." Like I didn't know what they meant.
Yeah.
And they like, you know, they giggled and they explained like, "Oh no, there's like five different love languages: touch, words of affirmation."
Did you end up taking the test?
Gifts, call. No, there's a test.
Yeah, it's like it's a bunch of questions that you answer, and then it gives you what you are like. It's either your love language is either quality time, words of affirmation, gift receiving, or whatever. And I forget the other two. Sorry, I'm not good at this either. I took the test because I wanted to see what I was, and I was quality time. This was about 9 months ago. I took it. But yeah, I did. Okay, so you never took it, but did you find out?
Yeah,
you found out hers was words of affirmation. I'm assuming.
I mean, I guess so. Wish I knew it sooner. it was never explicitly discussed like, oh, this is my love language. It's interesting. And I guess, you know, I don't want to talk for her again, but when we first met, I'm a very, my love language is touch. I'm a very touchy person. I just like hugging. I like, you know, massages. I'm a very, that's my love language. So when I first met Chelsea and we started dating, she had told me she was never really used to so much, you know, like cuddling and physical affection like that. And I brought that out of her. So I don't know if, you know, maybe love languages are something that evolve over time or adapt, but I didn't have knowledge of like, oh, this is my love language, not necessarily hers. What is hers? Let me find out. And, you know, words of affirmation, if I had known that, I would have made, you know, more conscientious effort to you know, put that into effect.
Well, Tom, we're only two episodes in. It's starting to get interesting. I'm sure we're going to see some debauchery at some point on that island with somebody. but we're all excited. I've been a fan of the show for the first two seasons. I enjoy talking to the couples. I know it's kind of tough to like talk about it only in the, you know, what's been shown. You don't want to give anything away.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't want you to give anything away, but I really appreciate you coming on. I want to say good luck, but you already know what happens this season. So I just want to say enjoy the show, and we'll definitely be watching. And I appreciate you coming on, man.
Awesome. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate you having me.
You got it. Well, thank you to Tom for that. That was a really good interview. And these interviews are tough, especially in the early going, because you have to sit there and be – he can only answer by what is shown so far. He's never going to give details about what's upcoming, and I get that it's tough, and I don't know their status now. The fact that I recorded with both of them today separately doesn't mean anything. I mean, I could tell you right now – well, I'll give you my thoughts after you hear the Chelsea interview, which is coming up right now. All right, so here is the other half of the Tom and Chelsea couple from season 3. It is Chelsea Orcutt, correct?
Yes, Chelsea Orcutt. Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. Very good. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm good. And let's kind of just get started right away here, kind of the same way I started with Tom. In terms of just because the show is only an hour long and about 42 minutes with commercials, and we have four couples that they need to introduce at the beginning of every season, which is eight people. Just give people a little bit of a background on yourself that we don't know. How you grew up, where you grew up, your schooling, what you're doing now. Just give people an update on a little bit more about Chelsea Orcutt that we just don't know from the show.
Okay, awesome. So I grew up in South Jersey in the middle of nowhere, and I went to school for business marketing at Widener University in Pennsylvania. I always knew that I wanted to do something creative in the arts, or, you know, sing, dance, anything like that. So I moved to New York and I pursued music for a little bit. And then I moved to LA 2 years ago, and I've been here ever since. And I haven't really been doing music as much. I've been doing more commercial than anything. So right now with COVID, I'm not doing as much as I would like, but I'm still taking the acting path for now.
This is very similar to Tom's career path. I mean, New Jersey, acting, moved to LA 2 years ago. Like, it's almost crazy that you guys didn't meet until you got to LA.
Exactly. And the craziest thing is when he saw that I was from New Jersey, he was even more intrigued about meeting me, because at first we both were like, yeah, whatever, like we weren't really, our friend was trying to set us up, so we didn't really, you know, try that hard, because our friend reached out to me multiple times, and then he was actually with Tom, and he was like, you need to reach out to this girl, like you guys would just get along and really mesh well. And so he finally reached out to me, and he saw on my Instagram that I'm from New Jersey, and that's really where we connected. And then hearing our stories after meeting, we are very similar in that way, where we left the corporate world and went into the arts.
Yeah. And he explained the story of how you guys got involved in the casting process of the show. This was a phone call that happened in a car ride in Sacramento. You pull over to the side of the road, something along those lines. He seemed to remember that. But
yeah,
when you, because I've always asked this to all the couples that have come on, like, how did you guys get cast for this show, or how were you initially reached out to? Was it through an agency, or did somebody just hit you up on Instagram? And it's usually, oh, somebody from casting saw us on Instagram as a couple or something like that. But he said you were the one that got contacted about it. So were you, when you got contacted, were you aware of Temptation Island? Had you watched anything or no?
So I had never heard of it before, and I was on my Instagram and I had a message from a producer, and it was funny because I normally don't even really look at like message requests. And for some reason I looked at it and I was like, oh, like this is interesting. And I read it and it's like, the way they try to sell it to you is like, you're going on a vacation. It's like all paid and it sounds amazing. So I'm like, there's a catch. And I was in the car with Tom and we were on our way to the Sequoia Forest. And as we were driving, I literally had like one bar. I literally had no service at all. So I messaged her and I'm like, oh, we would love to hear more about it. So she was like, can I call you like right now? And I'm like, oh man, like, I don't know if we're going to have service in 5 minutes. I'm like, you can call me right now, but if you call me in 5 minutes, I will have no service. So we had to pull over on the side of like a mountain basically. And we called her just because she needed to know very quickly. So we had to talk to her within like that, you know, time frame of like 10 minutes or else, you know, she was probably going to move on. So we called her to get the logistics and really figure out like what kind of show it was, because we have never heard of it before. And she told us about it. And I like literally, I'm obviously very emotional, if you can't tell. So I'm like, I don't know if I could do this. I can't imagine like you being with 12 single girls, like in bathing suits, jumping all around. Like, I don't know if I can do this. And, so we didn't talk about it for like the rest of that day, just cause I was like so upset. I was like, damn, if I'm upset now, nothing even happened. Like, this is not a good idea. So, and he made valid points saying like, you know, we were in a pandemic for literally 8 months of our relationship. And before that, we were only in the real world for 4 months. So he made valid points saying that we can go here and I can prove to you that you can trust me. Like, this is like the ultimate test. Like, I will be surrounded by beautiful women in Hawaii on vacation, drinks, you know, food, alcohol, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I guess you're right. Like, it makes sense, because I don't know when the world's going to go back to normal. And are we just going to be in quarantine for a year of our relationship and never really see each other in a social setting? So that was like our take on it. It's like, this is an opportunity for us to see how we are in, you know, a social setting and partying and not being around each other and just see what happens.
Well, having been a fan of the first two seasons and talking to a lot of the couples, I think every couple has been on my podcast at least once. I'm always interested. I think one of the fascinating things about this show, I know it is, for the most part, I think last season has kind of changed things, but for the most part, the women in the couples really seemed to bond with each other. And I believe I even saw something online recently of you, Aaron, and Erica together, and you know, saying you miss, you know, saying you miss Kristen. So it looks like the girl bonding has happened between the four of you. I don't, you know, we're not getting into spoilers or anything that happens of who's still with anybody or what the case may be. But I want to go back to the first time that you met them. And was there anybody that, if you can put yourself back in that position, was there anybody in the four couples, Kristen or Erica or Aaron, that when you first saw them and you first laid eyes on them, you were like, I vibe with her more, or I don't know about her, or I guess maybe even your first impression of the couples in general?
Well, I really feel like right away I knew that I was going to vibe with Erin. Okay. I feel like a lot of my friends are similar to her, and I could just tell her personality. I was like, I'm definitely, I'm like a very laid back, like kind of friend. I'm like, yeah, whatever you want to do, I don't care. So I feel like she reminds me of a lot of my friends, where like they're the planners, like more, a little bit more aggressive, like in the best way. And I feel like I knew that she and I were going to bond. I feel like I knew that Erica was a sweetheart right away. Like right when I met her, I knew she's just like an amazing person. And I felt like I was like, ooh, I feel like Kristen might not open up. I feel like she's going to be like, well, these girls stop talking, because I feel like she seemed a little bit closed off. Like when we first all met, and I'm like very like, hey, what's going on? So I feel like I wasn't sure how to feel about Kristen until like maybe 2 days after. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, you know, she's nervous. It's just a crazy circumstance. So I was like trying not to judge anyone, you know what I mean? But I just was like, I knew that I was going to be friends with Erin for sure.
Gotcha. In terms of going on this show, it was interesting because on Tuesday night's episode, you are, I can't remember if it was on your date with Blake or if it was pre-date where you were just talking to Blake, but you made it pretty clear, like, I didn't want to be here. This was Tom's idea. Can you explain more about that? Like, obviously you had to ultimately sign off on it. He didn't drag you on the show.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But, like, what did you mean when you said it was, this was Tom's idea, I really didn't want to do this?
So I'm saying I didn't want to do it because I felt like deep down inside, I was like, I feel like we might not be strong enough to go through this, even though I believe that Tom can get through this. And I was like, I just don't know if we're strong enough, though, because we were only together for 11 months and most of it was in quarantine. So I'm like, this could go like blow up in our face. So I was like, I just don't think this is a good idea, because if it doesn't work out, I'm not ready to lose you. Like, I don't know what's going to happen on the island, but I'm still like, the thought of losing you is like breaking my heart, and I don't want to go there and risk it. And then he's like, I'm not going to cheat on you. Like, that's not going to happen. And it's like, if we both said, if we found someone else and we fell in love with them, then we're not meant to be anyway. But other than that, like, he's like, I'm not going to be with anyone else. Like, I love you. I'm going to show you I can go and have fun and hang out with beautiful women. And that's it. And I'm like, okay, like, I don't want to go, but like, I'm obviously going to do it. Like, let's do it. And I was like, just doing it, I feel like that was like a step for me of like trust. I'm like, if I'm like agreeing to this, I feel like that's the first step to building the trust that I felt like I lost.
So, but by doing that, is it going into the show, is it all on Tom at that point? Because it almost seems like you're going in like, all right, well, this is Tom's test. And does that, it's tough to say, I know, because we can't talk about future episodes or whatever, but was your mindset like, well, I'm just not going to, well, if this is a test for Tom and he claims that he can go through this and deal with 12 women hitting on him and being drunk and whatever and being in bikinis, then certainly I can't get involved with anybody else and I'm not going to fall for anybody else. Like, what was your mindset going in?
See, the whole thing is I didn't really think about what could happen with me.
Oh, okay.
And that sounds very naive, and it was, because I was like, so worried about what he was doing. And that's like something that I learned. Like, I need to just worry about my own actions and not worry about other people's actions, because I can't make them do something. And, you know, ultimately I'm only in control of my actions, and I can't worry about what other people are doing. So I really learned a lot about myself when I'm talking about like, oh, I'm worried about what Tom's doing. It's like, well, why don't you just focus on yourself and, you know, like meet some friends and have a good time. And this is how I'm building trust with Tom. So me worrying about what he's doing all the time is not healthy, you know?
And I remember the first episode, Mark went over with every couple, what were your rules? I've forgotten what you guys said. What were your rules going in?
Our rules were not kissing anyone. And not to have anyone like in your bed, and not having sex with anyone.
Okay. Well, we've got 10 more episodes to see if those rules get broken or not. So you guys actually set those rules. Obviously, there were other couples. Kendall and Erica, I don't believe, had rules. I mean, I remember Kendall saying, oh, no, we don't have any rules. So
they didn't have any rules.
Okay, so it is interesting. I mean, it's kind of fascinating when you think about it, because you guys set strict rules, like nothing. No, nobody in a bed, no sex. You're not even going to kiss anybody. And Kendall and Erica are going on that island like, hey, whatever happens, happens. Like, It's really weird. I don't even know how to
I think that Kendall and Erica were not on the same page, because it's like, even if Tom and I didn't have rules, he still would be true to who he is. And I don't think that the rules were necessary. And like, I feel like in real life, this doesn't make sense, because in real life, this is not real life. So I feel like the rules for me made me feel better about myself, but I actually knew that I didn't think Tom needed them, but it made me feel better. But I feel like Erica not having rules, she's like, in her mind, I mean, I don't want to speak for her, but I feel like she's like, if you love me, you won't do this. You won't hurt me. So that was her thing going into it, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because if you love someone, like, you don't want to have sex with them, or you don't want to kiss someone, or, you know, maybe it's a mistake. It's just like not having rules. You shouldn't really need rules, I guess.
So your biggest issue going in, based on what we've seen in the first two episodes, is this: Tom's a flirt. And it makes me feel insecure when he does this. And, you know, I don't want to skip ahead to the bonfire yet, but essentially that was your biggest issue in the relationship, is you felt insecure. Had you been cheated on in the past? Because I think you may even mentioned it at the bonfire, that's kind of way you've always felt in relationships.
I feel like in my relationships, I'm very motherly. Like, I really, you know, I want kids and I want a family, and I feel like I baby my guy, my men or something. I don't know. I feel like I cater to them. Not as much as Erica, because Erica, like, the way she's saying she irons and does this and that, like, I want to be helpful and whatnot, but like, I try to like draw a line, but it's really hard, you know, when you want to like make someone else happy. Like, you just want to do whatever you can. But I feel like, I don't know.
well, let's circle back to the episode a little bit in terms of your date, because when I was talking to Tom about, you know, he chose Lauren, I'm like, I don't remember a lot of time that they showed you with Lauren. So, you know, tell me why you picked her and stuff like that. And he gave me an explanation.
Yeah.
With you and Blake, it was, you know, we got, I think, two pretty decent conversations of you talking to Blake, and it seemed like everything that he liked to do, you liked to do. So it's clear why you picked Blake, and we all knew that you were going to pick him when the episode happened. It was just because of the way it was edited and the way we saw it. Like, it made sense. He also has a kind of a resemblance to Tom. I think, I was like, okay, I kind of see that there's a type there. But is there anything that we didn't, I don't know, see as an audience as to your decision as to why you went with Blake first?
I just felt like, I was talking about how Blake reminded me of one of my really good friends from home. And in my mind, I was like, oh, this is perfect. Like, I met someone, like, he reminds me of one of my best friends, and I can like go on dates with him and have fun and like not have to worry about anything. And, so that's why I chose him, because we had so much in common, and, you know, we're both like very family orientated, and I feel like we had a lot to talk about. So I knew that taking him on a first date, we would just be able to continue our conversation, because it's very hard to really talk, to really talk in these like situations that we're in because of the cameras. You can really only talk to each other if the cameras are on you.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to get to know someone.
Was there anything that happened on the date itself that, obviously there was a lot of time spent with the zip lining and stuff like that, that we didn't get to see, that was maybe a funny moment or anything like that? Something we missed?
Oh my gosh. That literally was the funniest date, because Blake was making a drink and he was like we're both nervous, obviously, like it's just a weird situation, you have cameras in your face, and he's like making a Moscow Mule and he's like shaking it and open, like it literally exploded all over us. And I was like, this is such a great icebreaker. This is hilarious. And he thought like I was going to be upset, but I was like, it's a little bit of liquid, it will dry up. Like, we're literally in Hawaii under the sun, who cares? And that was like such a good moment, because it was like, you know, don't take anything too seriously. Like, we're just here to have fun. Like, I'm not going to be mad because my makeup is now running down my face. So that was like a really funny moment. We had a lot of fun.
Obviously, like I said, we know you picked Blake. When you saw Tom pick Lauren, what were your thoughts?
My thoughts were she seemed really sweet and cute, and I felt like maybe his type, but I really don't know if I know his type. So I was not worried. I was like, oh, I hope they have fun. I didn't really think about it too much because I don't want to get in my head, you know, like, oh, I wonder if he likes her or, you know, is attracted to her because she's cute. So I was just happy. Like, he said that she was interesting and they had good conversation, which they don't show that, obviously in the episode, but I knew that. So I was like, okay, so good conversation and she's cute.
Yeah. It's just even picking the first dates and watching the first dates was, again, as a viewer, it's like some guys walked up there and, you know, I remember, gosh, who was it? When Kendall chose Alexis, we see Erica react the way she did. Like, oh, she almost started walking down already. And he's holding her hand as they're walking back. And she felt completely disrespected by what Kendall did. You can say it. Did you think Erica in that moment was overreacting to what Kendall did? Or were you put off by what Kendall did and how he did it?
Oh, God. I was put off 100%. That is ridiculous. Okay. Like, holding her hand. I mean, you guys just met yesterday.
Yeah.
It's uncalled for. I don't agree with it. And that would make me upset too, obviously. Okay.
Well, she does spell her name Alexcys. And I think that needs some hand holding. I've never heard Alexis spelled that way. And it's mind boggling.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's, I didn't know that. So
Alexcys. I've never seen that ever. Okay. So you guys had your dates. Tom has his dates. When you watched the episode on Tuesday, what did you think of the Devils and Angels party now that you've seen more than you probably knew or whatever? I don't know.
I pictured that, you know, I pictured that. Yeah. Nothing surprised me.
When you saw the Tom and Maya, I don't even know what you want to call it. Tom, as I said to him, I go, Tom, I may be misreading it here, but you looked hammered when you had that conversation with Maya. And he's like, he goes, I was.
But
he said it was more of a miscommunication. When you saw it on Tuesday, were you like, I think she kind of took that the wrong way, or I can kind of see why she took it the way she did? What were your thoughts on it?
I feel like I understand they're there to also find love or whatever their reasoning of being there. I get it, but I'm just confused as to why she... If someone's telling me a reason why they are doing something like Temptation Island, oh, I'm going to stay with my girlfriend, show her that I can be faithful, I would say, okay, that's awesome. I wouldn't be like, I wouldn't like question that, you know, like, I don't think that's fair to Tom. Like, he's telling you why he's here, accept it. And then he's here and he's going to get to know you. That's why he's here. But he also loves me and he's probably going to leave with me. And, you know, like, I don't know why she would be so offended by that when she knows that they all have girlfriends, all the guys. Like,
yeah, it was an interesting reaction. And I didn't quite understand it. I was kind of on Tom's side on that. And she's like, you know, saying the singles aren't worth your time. And I was like, I don't think, unless there was editing that we didn't see.
Saying.
Yeah, that's not that I, it's not what I saw. But before we get to the bonfire part, there's something I do want to, talk about with you. I'm not going to say I did a giant deep dive on you, but I was like, okay, I'm having Chelsea and Tom on. I want to look up some stuff here. I am fascinated by the fact that you are on the cover of romance novels. That is awesome. I saw that and I'm like, wait a second. And this wasn't even a deep dive. This is right there on your Instagram account I think late 2019. But how many of those romance novels, there's 7 covers that you are on. How many of them have you actually read?
I've never read any of them. Isn't that terrible? I know. My mom has them. She actually ordered them off of Amazon. And I'm like, are you going to read it? And she's probably not going to read it. But maybe one day since I actually have them now.
I want to know what mail order miscreant is about. I'm very curious to what.
Oh my God. I don't even know the titles or anything. I just think they're hilarious sometimes though. Like I don't remember any off the top of my head, but they come up with very clever titles and they crack me up.
So yeah, some of the titles are Mail Order Miscreant, Lord of Night, Secrets of an Autumn Afternoon, The Gift of Marquess, A Lady Never Tells, and When the Blue Stocking Meets Her Match. I don't even know what that means.
This does not sound like romance novels.
So,
oh my God!
How does one get involved in? How did you get that gig? Obviously, you like you said, you work with you're in acting and you work in entertainment. And how did you come across that modeling gig?
I feel like I applied for it on one of the websites for like modeling gigs, and I got it. That was it.
It didn't hide it like kind of the way Temptation Island kind of tricked you with their initial email. It wasn't like paid modeling gig. It was strictly like you knew what you were doing with.
Yeah.
It was for romance novels.
Strictly like romance novels. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you get to meet Fabio at all? Did you get to meet Fabio at all?
No. There's like a new Fabio though, but he's like blonde. He's literally like a big Ken doll. It's crazy.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So yeah, I found that on your Instagram. I thought that was pretty cool, because I can't say I've ever met anybody that did romance novel modeling.
Yeah,
and I wanted to know if you've actually read the books, and you apparently haven't read any of them.
One day. I will.
Okay, so Bonfire on Tuesday night, you know, obviously the only ones we saw so far are you and Erica. The clip that we showed, that they show of Tom, was pretty tame in terms of, well, if you want to compare it to Erica's, it was very tame.
Yeah.
But what they showed, I talked to him about it, this networking event. He told it, you know, it seems like that some, I think he even said, like, this is something, this story that I told to the women was nothing that Chelsea and I haven't been over before. So this was something that, but because it was pretty tame, and then I saw you get, and we all saw you get emotional over it. Mm-hmm. What brought out those emotions? Why did that trigger you to bring you to that level of emotion watching that clip?
So since you don't really get to see the full conversation that I'm having with Mark, when I saw the clip, I'm like, yeah, that's exactly like, he's just telling them what we went through and why we're here. Like that they don't know me and you know, they have their opinions. They can say whatever they want. That doesn't bother me. But then we get into like my insecurities and it's like a whole other conversation and it looks like I'm getting so emotional because of the clip, and it's because Mark's really bringing out my past traumas and my relationships, and that's what we're talking about. And it's like has nothing to do with Tom. It's like I'm talking about past relationships have nothing to do with him, and I'm crying because I'm like, damn, like I feel like I'm talking about this, my past relationships, which are so terrible, and I'm here on Temptation Island. And I feel like, you know, I have a good man. So I don't want to make him look like, you know, he's doing something wrong, you know, if he's not. And in that clip, he wasn't doing anything wrong. And then I'm crying and it makes it look like I'm crying maybe because he made me feel like that and he didn't. It was completely a different subject, talking about a whole different relationship.
What is this? I mean, just out of curiosity, we only got to see a little bit of it in your conversation with Mark. What are these past traumas from your relationships? Was there cheating? Is it cheating or is it?
It's like a combination of things. Like I've had relationships. I've had amazing relationships. I was in an awesome relationship in high school. And then, you know, things got rocky when we went to college and ultimately we broke up, and that was like one person that I could say like that was like my first true love. And then after him, I've never, like, I've had other boyfriends, like dated here and there that were nice, but I've had two relationships that were very toxic, mentally abusive. And it's like I never ever had a healthy relationship like I have with Tom. So I feel like I just feel like that was like my biggest thing with Tom is that you need to give me a minute to get used to this amazing relationship because I'm used to everything being so toxic, which is really a hard thing to do, apparently.
And that's where your insecurities stem from, just things that happened in past relationships, and you just feel like, I think you even said it, I might be mixing you up with Erica, but in terms of what you said, but it like that you just don't feel, I don't know, all there at times, and or that you're not worthy of it?
I feel like for me, I feel unappreciated sometimes in my relationships. Not, you know, the one that I had with Tom, not him. I'm saying in the past, it's been very hard for me to really like let down my walls, I guess, and like really fall in love with someone because each time I would date someone, it's like the wall got higher and higher. So then, you know, then I meet Tom and it's like, I just have this huge wall up and it's like, I'm trying to just realize that he is a good guy and there's nothing wrong. And I was like trying to find things that was wrong with him, which is crazy. But like, what am I going to do? Yeah. I'm like, this is too good to be true.
Self-sabotaging you know? The relationship. It happens a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I literally was doing. So,
well, I mean, it's going to be an interesting ride, I'm sure. We're going to watch it all play out over the next 10 weeks. Chelsea, thank you so much for coming on and doing this. And obviously, you already know how this all plays out, so I don't want to say good luck or anything because there's no reason to. There's no luck to be had here. It's either, you know, we'll see what happens. But really looking forward to watching your guys' relationship and seeing what happens here. And I appreciate you being so open and honest in this conversation as well.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. So thanks to Chelsea for coming on and talking about their relationship. The thing that I was talking about in between the two podcasts was, like I said, there's no spoilers here. I'm not trying to trick them into saying something that might give it away because really I don't want to know. But just by talking to them, of course you're going to form opinions. But after listening to Tom, and now after listening to Chelsea, I think you can find parts of their answers, both of them, that you could point to and be like, oh, they're totally still together. But I also think you can find parts of their answers like, you know what, I don't think they're together. So I don't think that those podcasts gave anything away. Now, you can guess and say, like, oh, I think they're together, and they might end up together, and then you're like, oh, I was right. But I don't think there's anything that definitively either of them said in that podcast where you're like, oh, no, I can totally tell it's one way or another. I couldn't. And there were certain things that they said. I was like, huh, interesting. And then they would say something else. I'd be like, oh, interesting the other way. But that was great hearing from them. And I think that'll probably be the only time we have a couple on the same podcast. Every week from now on, I'll have one person from the couples, and then we'll have singles obviously down the line as well. But we're going to have one person from the couple on the back end of whoever my relationship is, whoever my podcast is with. It'll be the last 20, 25 minutes, however long the interview takes. But this one, because we didn't have anybody last week, thought we'd have them both on this week. And I thought both of them were really good. And I'm really curious to see about where the relationship goes, because I could see both things happening. If you told me right now they're still together, I'd be like, yeah, I could see that. And if you told me right now that, no, they broke up at the end of this thing, I'd be like, I could see that. we'll see where it goes. So I hope you like that. I can't emphasize enough that how much more I like this show than The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. And the more I like it, that's why the less I want to be spoiled and the less I want to know about these couples, because I think it would really ruin the process for me. Granted, as we get closer to the finale, I probably will end up hearing stuff from somewhere. But in episode 2, no, I don't want to know. We got 10 episodes left. It's way too early for me to know what happens at the end of this thing. I think as we get closer to the end, I'll probably end up hearing some things. And I'll be like, okay, I'm okay with knowing it. It won't come out in the podcast and I'm not going to share it, but I'm okay with knowing about maybe some of the outcomes as we get closer to the end. But now, no, I don't want any spoilers about this. And I hope you don't either. But it's on every Tuesday night on the USA Network, 10, 9 Central. Check it out. It's season 3 of Temptation Island. Really looking forward to talking to the other couples on this show. Corey and Aaron, Kendall and Erica, Julian and Kristen. going to be really interesting because I think they're all different and kind of the same in a certain way. So great show. Hope you are all enjoying it and tune in. So please rate, subscribe, and review in Apple Podcasts as well. Thanks again to Tom and Chelsea for coming on. I will have their Instagram accounts linked in today's column if you want to check that out. And on my Instagram story, when I release that the podcast is up, I'll have both of their Instagram accounts linked there if you want to follow them. So for Tom Gibson and Chelsea Orcutt, I'm Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in, and we will talk to you next week. See you.